I want to preach this morning on what I think is the greatest prayer that's ever been prayed. The greatest prayer that's ever been prayed. You think about it for just a moment before I tell you what I think. There are great prayers in the Bible. You've even heard great prayers of godly people. But if you had to select one out of all the ones that you've ever read or heard, what would it be? Jesus prayed what we say the model prayer or the Lord's Prayer, and it was a model prayer of how we ought to pray. But in this prayer, Jesus, right before he goes to the cross, Jesus is praying for all those he's leaving behind and for all that's going to come behind. John, the 17th chapter, records that this morning as you turn in your Bibles, and I'll be reading in a few minutes, but I think it's the greatest prayer that's ever been prayed. Jesus is praying. In the first few verses of this 17th chapter, he's praying for his disciples. Well, at first he's praying for himself, what he's going to have to go through in the next few hours, and then about the middle of the chapter, he's praying for his disciples, realizing what they would have to go through. And then the word of encouragement. If you need a word of encouragement this morning, you'll find it in this prayer. Toward the end of the prayer, toward the end of the chapter, Jesus will be giving encouragement to you and I today. So as we think about this great prayer, we think about Jesus, a man of prayer. I want you to know Jesus, the Son of God, with all power on heaven and earth. It amazes me when I see Jesus stopping before he does any major thing and pray. Isn't that amazing that he would do that with the power he already has? But we find him doing that before he went into the ministry. 40 days and 40 nights, he prayed to God and fasted. Before he went into the ministry at the age of 30, he knew what was coming, and so he was praying that he'd do the right thing. And then we find out Jesus, before he selected his disciples, what did he do? He slipped off and prayed that he'd select the right disciples. Now, I know when we go through those disciples and we see what he selected, we say, you know, fishermen and tax collectors and this kind of thing. But after his resurrection and we saw those true disciples and what they did, we know he made the right choice, didn't he? So before he made the choice of disciples, we find him praying. Before, on his way to heal Lazarus and bring him from the dead, Jesus slips off and prays. Before he goes to the cross and give his life, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and the sweat coming down as drops of blood. Jesus was a person of prayer. And all through his ministry, before he'd do any major deed, we find Jesus stopping to pray. Now look in the 17th chapter of John, the first five verses, and notice what it says. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest to me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I have with thee before the world was. You notice as he begins, he says, my hour is come. Now, many times Jesus would say, my hour is not come. When they Peter was confessing that he was the Messiah. And he said, tell no one, because my hour is not come. We found on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus really, his glory was revealed, and he said, tell no one, because my hour is not yet come. But in this prayer, when he slips off to pray right before he leaves this world, we hear him saying, my hour is come. What I've come to do is being fulfilled. My ministry is complete. And so I want you to glorify the Son in order that you might be glorified. All through his ministry, Jesus did not seek glory for himself. He could have. God, two or three occasions, said how proud he was of the Son and all he had done. But Jesus says, I want you to glorify me so that I can glorify the Father. And throughout all his life on earth, it wasn't for him to get glory. It was to glorify God. And then notice in that second and third verse what he's praying. God has given him power to grant eternal life to all those who believe. All down through the years, he says, what I'm dying for, those who receive me as Savior, I'm going to give them eternal life. And so that was his prayer, that you and I, down through the years, would have that eternal life. Now today, if we could visit hell, and we could see the people that have gone on, who have not accepted Christ, and we would ask them, why are you here? Why are you in hell? Would they say, I'm a murderer, I'm a cheater, I've done dishonest things? No. You know what they would answer? I have not accepted Christ as my personal Savior and turned my life over to Him. That's why I'm here. That's why everyone will go to hell that won't believe. On the other hand, if we could go to heaven and we could interview people in heaven and we'd say, why are you here? Would they say, you know, I was a good church member. I was a good man. I did good deeds. I treated my neighbor fairly. I loved my family. No. They would say, I'm here because I turned my heart and life over to Jesus. I believed on Him and I was saved, and so I'm in heaven. Jesus says, I'm praying for everyone that makes that decision that they will endure, and his prayer will see that they endure and one day can be back with him. I finished my work, we hear him praying, here on earth, and so I go back to be with the Father. Jesus understood what he was facing. He knew the time and the opportunity he had to die for the sins of the whole world. He couldn't fail. And although he's the Son of God, we find him kneeling and praying and asking God for help. And then we notice the second thing he's praying for. Go back in the 17th chapter and look in verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they kept thy word. Now therefore have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep thou thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in the name, thy name. Those that gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now Jesus has prayed for himself, and now he prays for his disciples. What are they going to face when Jesus leaves the world? We know, as we've read through, all had forsaken him. No one kept close to him. Some trailed off as he was going to the cross. And so those disciples, it was their responsibility for the Christianity to spread to the whole world. What a responsibility it was to those disciples. And so Jesus saw fit. He knew what was coming. He saw fit to pause and thank God for those disciples and ask the blessing upon them and for them not to go be carried out of the world, but to they stay in the world and God would bless them so they could carry the Christianity to the whole world. And so Jesus is stopping there to pray for those disciples, 11 of whom would be great warriors. And that prayer would be answered. And it wouldn't be answered until the resurrection. They were slow many times to understand who Jesus was, what his mission was on earth. But let me tell you, after that resurrection, and Jesus revealed himself to those disciples, boy, did they ever become true warriors for him. In fact, all of them except one gave his life for the cause. And that one was on the Isle of Patmos, marooned there for the rest of his days, not able to leave. And so Jesus realized what they'd face. And so he's there praying, Lord, help them. Be with them. Watch over them. Care for them after I leave. They're going to need help. And so he's praying for that help. And on down, we'll not read. You could do your homework. You'll do it tonight, I know, or this afternoon in the verses 15 through 26 to save a little time. I won't read that. But he continues here praying for those disciples that they won't be corrupted, that they'll stay true to the Master. And in verse 17, we see him praying that they'll be holy. They'll live like Christians ought to live that want to spread the gospel. And so he continues to pray for them. Those disciples answered that prayer that Jesus prayed because of the life that they lived. And now in verse 20, the encouragement to you and I today, and if you ever need a word of encouragement this morning, if you need it, in the future, if you need it, here it is, beginning at the 20th verse. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Those are precious verses. Jesus here, just hours before he dies, is praying for you and me. Can you believe that? Jesus praying. Is that assurance today? Jesus praying for you and me. You know, I like people to pray for me. It thrills me when I hear people praying. Even before I preach, many times people will say, help him. give him words to say. It blesses my heart. I know you feel the same way when people pray for you. If it's a minister praying for you, if it's your mother praying, mother's prayers are most precious. If it's a friend praying for you. And many times, people going through various things in their life, I say, I want you to know I'm praying for you. What encouragement, isn't it, that people will pray for you? It lifts you up when you're down low in life, and sometimes it seems like can't even go forward, you're so low. But people are praying. It lifts you up, first of all, in the effectiveness of the prayer, and then the fact that somebody would pray for you, that would love you enough to pray for you. Jesus is saying here, as you see these words, I pray for all those that receive me as Savior. I'm praying for them. I want you to know here today at Grants Creek, wherever you're sitting, Jesus has already prayed for you. He's prayed for you. And furthermore, He's praying for you right this moment, wherever you are. For those outside that are not here this morning, maybe some are sick or some other reason, maybe they just didn't want to come, Jesus is praying for them. Some way they'll be touched. Some way they'll be encouraged. Whatever our need is, Jesus is praying for us. What an encouragement today to know that. It's an encouragement for anybody to pray for us. But for the fact that Jesus has already prayed and is continuing to pray for us, what a lift, what a blessing. What an encouragement that is in our life. Jesus praying for you and I. And then finally, as He closes His prayer, He not only prays for Himself and what He's going through, He not only prays for the disciples and the great things that they'll be facing, He not only prays for those of us that are going through whatever we may be going through today. But He prays for that time when we'll all be joined together in a perfect situation, healed, rejoicing, and loving each other. Don't you long for that in your life so many times? We see so many heartaches, and it breaks your heart to stand before a family and say goodbye to a loved one, to visit a hospital and hear the word cancer or something like that, to walk down the halls of a nursing home and see people with all kind of situations. It breaks your heart. You long someday. And many of you, maybe lonely lives because of circumstances, Jesus prayed. He said, one day, Lord, we go through all that here on earth, but I'm praying for that day when all of God's children will be together. And there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be more sickness, there'll be no more heartaches from family situations or other things. And I know you feel that same way, and you're grateful for that prayer that Jesus prayed. Lord, one day, all those you've entrusted to me that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, one day we'll be able to be together with a new body, one that won't grow old, one that won't get sick, one that won't have to endure sin in this life. He said, I'm praying for that, for every child of God. And so today we look forward to that. We long for that day when we can be able to be together in perfect harmony and be with God. What a prayer. What a prayer Jesus prayed. And I think if you read through it, if you go home and read through that chapter again and just see what Jesus is praying here and all the ones he's praying for, it is thrill your heart. Especially he's praying for me. Praying for me today. Regardless of who I am, what's the circumstances, he's praying for me. Just me. That I'll be able to endure. That I'll be able to go through anything that might come up in my life. That I'll be able to influence others. Today Jesus is praying. What an encouragement. And as you leave today and as you just go over in your mind that prayer, I hope it'll stay with you through discouragements, problems, troubles in life. I hope it just ring a bell to you that God is praying for me. God loves me that much that he's praying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this prayer that you prayed many years ago. Thank you for praying for us. Many days, God, we need this prayer, and we need it today. And we just thank you for it and ask that you continue to pray for us. That we'd do those things would please you, that we'd be what you would have us to be, that you would help us in the time of trouble and heartaches and cares of life. Thank you for that prayer. Just may it be real to us today how much you loved us and prayed for us back 2,000 years ago. And may that prayer just help us, encourage us every day. We want you to know we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.